This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Dit is 2 weke gelede wat ek toe preek ek in die suide. Verval ek die Heilige Gees vir my sê van mense hulle moet uit die kerk uit stap. En dan kom jy terug. Maar ons kom kerk toe, né? Ons kan maar lig kry daarso agter. Laat daar lig wees. Ek like daai woorde van wat God gesê het, laat daar lig wees. Al wanneer wat daar krag is. En soms moet ons uitgaan en inkom met 'n ander denkwyse, né? Maar ons het 'n kerkklere aan, ons het 'n kerk weekie op en dit gebeur so by ons selfgroep op 'n tyd keer as ons gaan nou kerk hou, dan klim ons so in so 'n ander boksie in, né? En Jesus bly nie in daai boksie nie. So dis my gebed dat ons aanbidding ook by daai plek kry. Op enige plek, enige tyd, enigiets wanneer dit vir hom pas, dan moet dit vir my pas. Nie andersom nie, né? Ja. So baie welkom hier so by ons vanoggend. Ek wil ook welkom sê aan die Walvismensies. Ek baie vir julle daarso in Walvisbaai. Ons is lief vir julle. Dankie dat julle saam met ons vanoggend deel in hierdie diens. Tegnologie maak dit moontlik dat ons vir julle ook kan tap vanmôre van hierdie twee pragtige mense wat saam met ons hier so is. Derek en Beryl wat die naweek met ons bedien het. Jy weet en ek dink ons pad met die Here sowel as 'n huwelik is 'n belegging oor tyd. En baie keer steel ons 'n bietjie of ons laat na om te investeer daarso. En dan op 'n môre dan kom ons agter hier's groot moeilikheid. Ons is so half wil hom sê bankrot en dan wil ons dit skielik regmaak. En dit werk nie so nie. En wat ek eintlik maar probeer sê is 'n naweek soos hierdie naweek is een van daai beleggings in ons lewe wat jy saam met jou vat. En gister toe ons huis toe ry en ek en my vrou kon net lekker gesels oor die dag en wat die Here gesê en wat ervaar en nog steeds is ons eintlik maar by 'n plek om bietjie te top en te sê, jy weet wat sê die Here vir ons en indirek wat nou basies besig is om te gebeur deur 'n naweek soos hierdie is dat die koninkryk van God kom in ons huis en daar sekere tree wat ons moet gee en besluite wat ons moet neem sodat die koninkryk van God kom en ek dink baie van u wat reeds al hierdie naweek bygewoon het en so ook vanoggend. So ek wil julle aanmoedig om by hierdie twee pragtige mense vanoggend net te ontvang. Hulle is soos 'n ouma en 'n oupa vir ons wat klomp myle op het, maar in daai myle is dit daar nog baie energie wil ek vanoggend sê. En baie passie nog vanoggend. So ek het dit gister gesê en ek sal dit ook hier in die groter gemeente vanoggend sê, ek wil oud word soos hulle oud word. En jy weet so om op 77 nog met so 'n kapasiteit en 'n passie te kan dien en met so voluit te hardloop. En nie skaam om dit te sê vanoggend nie. Ek dink dis 'n eer vanoggend op daai ouderdom so te kan gee vir die koninkryk van God. En dit maak my hart bly. Dit gee daar's vir my hoop. Dan dink ek, Jesus Here, daar's nog soveel myle. Amen. Ek onthou Pastor Bill Wilson eendag gesê, jy weet, en praat hy van pastoor, het sê, hoekom wil jy op 60 aftree? Wat het jy gemaak? Golf speel en dan loop jy met jou wit bene daar op die golfbaan rond. En ek dink is 'n konsep wat ons gaan moet verander binne die kerk ook, né? Ons kom met daai wêreldse denkwyse in die kerk en op 60 gaan ek 'n bietjie, ek weet nie, daar onder die boom sit en ek het gister gesê, wat is God se aftreeplan? Moses het die berg geklim en gesterf. So, dit is hy daai. Amen. Ek gaan vir Derek vra of vir Beryl, sy wil eers ietsie deel en Derek gaan vir ons vanoggend bedien met die woord. So maak jou hart oop en maak elke deel van jou oop en ontvang met liefde van twee pragtige mense. Baie dankie julle twee.
Môre almal, so lekker om weer terug te wees in my land. Ons bly in Pretoria, maar my hart is in Namibia. Ek is hier gebore, so dis baie baie lekker om hier terug te wees. Ag, ek wil net ietsie deel. Ek het net so gevoel die Here sit dit op my hart vanmôre en toe het ons gesing oor empty handed but alive in his hands. En ek het net gevoel vanmôre, miskien voel ons bietjie moeg baie keer en ons voel ons het hard probeer en ons het hard gebid en ons sien net nie die uitwerking daarvan in ons lewens nie. En maar dis amper daai empty handed but alive in his hands. En ek het net gevoel die Here gee vir my hierdie skrif waar hy sê I'm forgotten by him as though I were dead. I've become like broken pottery. En dan gaan het aan en het sê Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. En ek voel net ons is in die Here se hand en ons moet dit nooit vergeet nie. Al gaan dit swaar en al gaan dit rof en party dae weet ons nie hoe gaan ons die pennies kry om die brood te koop nie. Maar ons is nog in die Here se hande en kan ons hom vertrou liewer as om die ekonomie te vertrou. En ons was al baie keer op daai plek waar we walk in faith in our lives en baie keer dan dink jy joh dit gaan bietjie rof en ek weet nie hoe gaan ons hierdie gaatjie toestop nie. Was enige van julle al op daai plek? Maar jy weet dan kom die Here op 'n wonderbaarlike manier en hy stop daai gaatjie toe. Maar hy stop hom nie net toe nie, daar's oorvloed. En ek is nou al op 'n stadium waar ek nie meer bang is vir daai goed nie. Ek is nou op 'n stadium waar ek wag vir die Here se verrassings en ek sê Here, hoe gaan U dit doen? Hoe gaan U daai goed bewerkstellig en ek voel net om vandag vir julle net bietjie aan te moedig. As julle bietjie voel, kyk, dit gaan bietjie rof op watter vlak ook. Vertrou die Here, want julle is lewendig in sy hande.
Baie dankie. Goeiemôre almal. Ek wil vandag doen wat Jesus gedoen het. Hy het die water gevat en oorgeskep in wyn, is dit reg? Ek wil vanoggend se diens vat in Afrikaans en Engels omgeskep. Het ek reg gesê? Okay. My Afrikaans is nie so goed nie, maar ek probeer elke nou en dan. Ek bly in Pretoria, ek moet leer. But bless you all, lovely to be here with you and thank you for those kind words. Man, I know. Dear me, you know, what does God want us to do with our lives? And it doesn't end at 60 or 65. It just doesn't end there. And I think some, for many of us, that's where life begins, really. When you're free of the workplace and you can go in and do what God wants you to do. So please bear that in mind. I was, hello, Office Bay, waar is jy? Daar so. Bless you. Lief julle ook hoor. I like Sammy Java. I want to go there one day again. Okay. But anyway, here we are. I just found a scripture this morning, which I would like to read to you before I start in Psalm 119. Ek gaan nie die hele psalm lees nie. There's a long one. But on Friday evening, we spoke about law and grace. And it's quite an interesting subject to talk about because there is a lot of people either go towards the law or too much to the grace. And for us to live life, we need both. We need law and we need grace. And this just reminds me of how we should look at God's law. You know, it's not a law. It's not like the world's law that if you do this, you're going to go to jail or something like that. But in actual fact, it is a little bit like that, I suppose, because when God tells us, like in the Ten Commandments, which is part of His law, He says, don't do this, and we do it, there's going to be a consequence. It's like a traffic fine afterwards, somewhere down the line. And but this is what the law of God wants to tell us. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditated all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. Dis nou 'n goeie. Nee, ja. For they are ever with me. Now, the point here is that his commands make us wiser because they are forever with me. It's like what you're saying. It's not gebed is nie hier nie. It's when we go outside into the supermarket and we're walking down the streets or the workplace. This is where we should be really putting into practice the things we learn here. You know, taking it out and say, Lord, change this place. Change this supermarket. Change the environment here. 99. I have more insight than all my teachers because I meditate on your statutes. I meditate on your... Because I meditate, I have more insight than my teachers. It goes on in verse 100. I have more understanding than my elders, for I obey your precepts. I obey your law. I obey these things. And that gives us a lot more. When we are spending time with God, when we are waiting in Him, He gives us insight into the words that we read. Don't read a whole chapter at a time. I mean, read a whole chapter at a time, of course, but take some time and take a scripture and just say, Lord, what are you actually meaning here? What are you saying? And this will start to change a whole bunch of things in our lives when we meditate on His word. Father, I just say thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Lord, that we can share together, Lord, that we can ask your Holy Spirit to be with us. Lord, that you will give us insight. Lord, how do we live life better to be able to serve you better? Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak right deep into our hearts, Lord. And Father, maybe we won't even secretly say, oh my goodness, I need to work on this thing. And Father, that we'd actually make work on it. And Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would encourage us as your people that are sitting here today, Lord. Lord, that you will encourage us to go out there and to make the difference. Father, teach us a new way, perhaps, of living life, that we may know that your word is true, and that when we walk in your way, you change things around us. And because, Lord, we are here to continue the work of Jesus here on earth. This is the role of the church, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you will teach us to continue in what Jesus was doing here on earth. In Jesus' name I ask it, Lord. Amen. 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 You know, there's a desire in my heart is to see the greater miracles of Jesus come back into the church and come back. I'm not saying in this building, as you say, when we go into the marketplace and you see somebody walking around and God says, pray for that person. And I had just that case the other day. An old man was walking really, he was actually walking like this. And I didn't feel the Lord saying, I must go and pray for him. Otherwise, I think I would have. But I just felt, Lord, speak to me. I'll go and pray for him. He didn't say anything. And I just saw this man walk past. And I thought, man, you know, if Jesus was there, like that old woman, the woman came and she was bent over. He just touched her and said, my child, be healed. And that heaviness or whatever it was caused that back or the spine thing, God can heal those things. We want to see those things come back into the church, don't we? But I think it's a lot of it is really up to us as His church to find out what God wants for each of our lives. And so, like Bill and I, you know, Bill's always wanted to have the desire to want to minister together. I didn't see a model how we could minister together. There was a couple from USA that came, and then they would stand here together, and he would read a paragraph, and she would then speak a paragraph, and I thought to myself, I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. And that was my thought. But when God started teaching us something different, she's got her own gifting, I've got my own little gifting, I've got a little bit of gifting, she's got a big gifting, and so you know, where she's got cracks, I try and fill it in. Where I've got cracks, she fills in, you know. And that's what a marriage is about, is filling in the cracks, because she's not perfect, and unfortunately I'm not perfect either. but really, we can complement each other so much, because I think God wants to use marriages. There's attack on marriages around the world. There's attack on leaders around the world, Christian leaders. And I want to encourage you to pray for your pastors, because they need it. Pray for your government as well, but pray for your pastors, because the onslaught is coming. Today, there's an onslaught against marriages. Anybody can marry anybody they want. In actual fact, anybody can be any sex they want, you know, and things like that. And they're trying to get that. They are now doing for children. You can decide at 6, 7 years old what sex you want to be. And the parents can have nothing to say about it.
And if they have something to say about it, they take the child away and put it under foster care. That's in the UK. But if it's happening there, the push in South Africa is stronger and stronger these days. And they want to shut up the church. Or let me say it another way. They want to shut the church up to speak truth because they don't like the truth. And so they'd rather keep you, make a law that you may not say these things, because if you say these things, the things, the ungodly things they want to do, they'd rather lock you up. Yeah. And so, yeah, if we don't like it, it's hate speech, as Beryl says here. Yeah. So I think God is wanting to do something in our lives. And one of the things that I think he wants to lift our levels. He wants to lift our levels of faith. Just think about faith. Go and do a study on faith. Or lift our levels of trust. Do we trust God enough to be able to do things in our lives? Do you think he will do it? Well, if you take that scripture and you say, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. That's his law. The moment we start drawing closer to God, he is obliged to draw closer to us. It may take a little bit of time, but just walk in that place of trust. And trust the things that he says he will do, he actually will do when we get into ourselves into that place and align ourselves with God. Unity. Let's look at unity. And I want to put another word with it, integrity. Unity and integrity. If we can put those things together in the body, is there unity here amongst us? Is there integrity? In other words, there's no lies that's going to come from me. I am who I am, but actually there's parts of me that should not be part of me because I've allowed the enemy to come in somewhere and I've got to change that. So we've got to bring in that whole area of integrity that we can do what God wants us to do because he's made us and we've allowed doors to open and stuff's come in and hurt and pain and it just changes us. We must ask God, Lord, come and heal me from that hurt and that pain so I can be. And another word I'd like to bring in is obedience. Just to be obedient. Adam and Eve were disobedient. Everything changed. And we're still sitting under that today. But Jesus has come and restored that. He's busy restoring what Adam and Eve lost through the church. So that means you and me. It's not the pastors only. It's each one of us as we go out there. Holiness. Holiness. What is that? We sang about holiness this morning. I'm pleased about that. But do we talk about it? What is holy? Oh, yeah. I think we sometimes want to attach holiness to skynheiligheid, you know, or something like that. but actually, holiness is part of who God is. And he says to us in his word, be holy because I am holy. And see, when you put all those things, the faith, the trust and the integrity and the unity and all these things, they end up in this place called holiness, where we can enter into the Holy of Holies with God. And so for us to get to that place, I believe that God, or Jesus came, and he appointed five leaders, five types of leaders. And he speaks about these leaders in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he said it was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. So where were these teachers before they became teachers? They were actually sitting where you're sitting. And he took some of our guys, and he said, I see the anointing on you, and you, and you, and he brought them out, and he gave them. He prayed over them, I suppose, and he said, you are now a pastor or a teacher. So I don't see us praying for evangelists or teachers or prophets or apostles anymore, But we only pray for the pastor because, you know, the pastor has got to be all five of those. And he can't be all five. But I believe the pastor, let's take the pastor now, he's the pastor of the church here. And but he can appoint people within the church and lay hands on them and say, you know, I see a prophetic gift on you. I appoint you as a prophet or whatever it might be. But what does the prophet do? What does the teacher do? What does the apostle do? And the next verse tells us what he does. These guys and ladies, they are to prepare God's people for works of service. It's the preparation for the work to come that is so important. Now, I would like you to, you can see there I've put the prepare, I've made it a big because I would like you to remember that word prepare, because that prepare is, I'm going to bring it to you just now. Why do you want to do that? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Mature. We need to come into that place of maturity, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, this is where we get stuck, I think. Can we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? That's what the word tells us. We can attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, we're not going to be Christ in any way. We're not going to be that in any way. But I tell you, there is something that he fills us up with to be able to do the work that he did on earth. And Paul indicates that this word prepare, some Bibles have a different word there. They either got prepare or equip or mend, for mend, which is, means restoration. He wants to prepare us, mend us, restore us to be able to do what God wants us to do. It's perfecting in a sense. It's putting into order our lives, which may be out of order with God, and to be make complete. Now, I'm gonna embroider on that in a moment. But when we emphasize the things that the inward looking, we ourselves have got a part to play in this whole thing. We need healing. We need mending. We need to be equipped. And we've got to offer ourselves for that. We've got to say, okay, I need healing. Lord, how do I get this healing? And so the stuff that we've been talking about over the weekend is about this healing. How do we get healed of this stuff? And so it's also called, the outward expression is the restoring of the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is actually the body that goes out into the marketplace. This is church. This is not church. Church starts. Yeah, is the equipping part, I suppose, part of the equipping part. But this is the place where we come together as the body of believers and worship the Lord. And so that we can get the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we want to get that place of maturity. And because there's a lot of fake news going around these days. Have you ever heard of fake news? Have you ever believed fake news? I believed fake news, and let me tell you this fake news I had. Well, ask my elephant. Where's my elephant? Okay, next. There we go. Now, you see, here's an elephant. Man, I love the game parks, and so when they took this photograph, they say it was the best photograph of the century, da-da-da, and this little cub was injured or thirsty, couldn't move, and so the elephant saw the situation, picked it up, and they were going carrying it to water. And I thought, man, that is incredible. You know, if us humans can just be that like that and help the like the good Samaritan, you know, and come along and help each other. Then I sent it off to Heinrich Titus and a couple of other people, many other people. I want the story to be true. Heinrich gives me SMSs me back, and he says, "Do you know that's fake?" Yes, the deep burst my bubble. In fact, I so wanted it to be true that I didn't give thought that that is a probably will never happen. I know you all want it to happen. I can see that. And I had to repent, and I said, you know, I'm sorry. I'd read text to the people I sent it to, and I said, that's fake, but it's a good photo anyway, you know. But now I'm using it because this is what we believe when we feel and we want it to be true, but it's actually not true. It's actually not true. And so what does the enemy comes along and he wants to take us off track. And he wants us to believe him, his lies, rather than what actually is truth. So for that, we need to have that this maturity, this understanding that God actually wants to put things right in a world where they are believing lies more and more. It's okay now to be homosexual. It's okay to marry. It's okay to cross dress. It's okay to all do all these things. But actually, the church says, actually, that's not right. Because now people are starting to believe. Even the church is starting to believe in many. Even in South Africa, churches are starting to believe. Oh, that's fine. It's okay. They can make their own choices. So you know, I want to encourage you that God uses the ordinary person to do great stuff. And Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he was looking for street kids, or young street boys. You know, so he didn't go into, he went to the lake and he got fishermen. Now, to go and look for fishermen, that's even worse, I would think. You know, because the fishermen are really rough guys sometimes. Sorry for the fishermen here, but I'm talking about the commercial fishermen that was out there making a living out of our fishing. Really, really lovely guys, but probably very rough, you know. But he went along the lake and he looked for the ordinary, regular person. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And as Jesus was walking along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting the nets. They were casting the nets into the sea. And he said, for they were fishermen, he said, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, no hesitation. Now, actually, I wonder why at this point, no hesitation. They must have actually heard Jesus speaking somewhere and healing people before. And so I don't know. But at once, there was something, there was a call that God has on our lives. And I'm not saying that everybody must go into full time. I'm not saying that at all. But there's sometimes a call in our lives for us to actually do something with the Lord and for him. Yeah. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in the boat with their father, preparing, equipping, mending their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. They left the whole business. They're just like that. Now, I'm not saying you must leave your business either. Please, that's not what I'm saying here. The thing is, what he's saying here, that I want to go back to that word prepare. That word prepare, where they were sitting in their boats, mending their nets, is the same root Hebrew root word is the one we read in Ephesians where it says preparing God's people for works of service. It's the same word. So we want to take that net and say, let's compare this net to our lives. And why were they preparing, sitting in their boats, preparing the net? I don't know, some of you might have been to Israel. I've been to Israel. I've been on a boat. It's probably not the same type, but on a boat. And they explained to us, and they actually had a net that was made, which they used those days, in Jesus' days. It was actually made of sheep wool. And it was, I've seen it here. It's a sheep that they've make a long string out of it, and then they make it into a net. And then they would put stones with holes in it, and they would fasten it on the ends, and they would throw this net into the water, and the stones would obviously go down. And whatever was in that fish was in there, they would catch. But sometimes the net would sink down to the bottom, it'll catch on rock or sunken logs, and it would get stuck. I know here at mile 4 and mile 8 and 72, sometimes you get stuck on some rocks and you have to pull and it breaks. And so they would have to break the net to get just to retrieve the net again. But the fish that were in there then had opportunity to escape. So the net isn't a good net if it's got holes in it. Would you agree with that? Yeah. I'm looking for a net like that. Is anybody got a net for me like it? I want to use it. So you got a net and you're throwing the net. And so you want to be fishes of men. So now you got your life, which you are now casting on people. And if we got things like rejection, which I would say it's like a hole in our net, in our life, how can we ever, or do you think we would ever go and speak to somebody about the Lord if there's any chance of that person going to reject us? And I don't want to be rejected. And so if I don't want to be rejected, I'm not going to speak to that person because I don't want to experience that rejection. That rejection then becomes a hole in our life. Whether he's open for you to speak to him, but because you're afraid you might say the wrong thing, and they say, no, actually, Laston, get behind me here now, go. That stuff goes so deep in here, we don't actually want to experience another rejection because I've had so much rejection before. And you see, one rejection leads to another rejection. And then we start to develop another thing called the fear of rejection. And so when we have a fear of rejection, and it may be not even rejection, it may even just be a sense of rejection. That I'm not loved, my parents didn't love me, or my husband, or my wife, or my whatever it might, you know. Something might be there, and I'm saying this out of my own experience. I've come out of that place of rejection and a sense of failure. That was my big two things. Rejection, a sense of rejection, because I was never rejected, and a sense of failure. I failed many times, but actually, it's a learning curve. But I struggled with that for years until I got saved. And I got saved when I was 40 years old, so I had a lot of stuff. You know what? I became my own bondage. I was the one that put restrictions on myself to do God's work. And so when I was about 12, 14 years old, no, sorry, not 10, 12, 13 years old, I was a server in the Anglican church. You know what a server is? An altar boy. You know, seen those guys that wear a long red dress and a little white thingy here, and they carry candles around the church. Da, 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 da. I was one of those guys. Didn't know God, but I wanted to serve somehow. And I was sitting here where you are, and this minister was up here, up there somewhere, and he was talking. I don't know what he's talking about, but I actually heard God's voice. I didn't know it was God's voice. I looked around to see who had said it. He said, I don't know the exact words, but it meant, I want you to do this. I want you to do what that guy is doing up there. And because I was having a bad time at school, I started to stutter. I couldn't net word it cranny. I just could not speak properly, especially if a sentence began with an S or an M. And because I couldn't speak, how can God expect me to do that? And I rebelled against God there until I met Beryl when I was 23 or something, 22. And we started going to church. And I still, it became a problem. And until I became a pastor, it was still a problem. I was 47 years old. And only then God started to heal me. How he healed me is another story. Going back to school, actually, I'd go and minister to a whole school and all these teachers behind me. Anyway, God healed me there. You see, sometimes these holes, we have to actually allow God to do the healing because we can't do it. Sometimes we have holes that we have to go and speak to somebody and say, you know, I've got to confess a sin here because this is an issue in my life. James chapter 5 verse 16, I think it says. It says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. So there is a healing what comes when I just come speak to somebody safe, somebody that's not going to skin it out there. And God wants to do things in our lives. Let's look at some of the holes. What time must I stop? Now. Was it stop? Who lot? 15 minutes. Whoa. You're very generous with your time. But I won't take that long. You see, when God speaks to you, sometimes you say, who, me, Lord? You want to use me? He went and chose fishermen. Yes, I can change them, I can change you. And God, when God chose me, if I was God, I would never choose me, really. And so I've had to learn to see myself a little bit differently. I was up at 2 o'clock this morning, and the Lord gave me this, and He says, I was thinking of my own blockage, and He said, and I just felt the Lord saying, I don't see your faults, He says to me. I don't see your faults. I don't see me like God sees me. I see imperfect, God sees potential. I see unfaithful, God sees potential. I see my past, God sees my future, and He likes it. And He likes it. You see, we look at the past, and what we see in the past stops us from what God wants to do in the future. And in this point here, with these holes, we stop right there. And I want to say, God wants to change that in each of us, each of our lives. Those undealt with issues, those secret places that you've never looked at for many, many years, but you know they're there. Let's look at that hole in the net called unworthiness. How many of us think that we are unworthy? God will not die for you if you think you were unworthy. He sees you worthy. Amen. Thank you. Really. How many people do we minister to? And I'm talking leaders. How many people do we minister? And when we say, do you know that God loves you? They would stop and they would look into your eyes and they will say, you know, I know it here, but I don't feel it here. And what I feel here is so real. So I can preach it, but I don't feel it. And so the reality of God loving us is a hole in our net. God loves us. Why? Because the Word says it. Because Jesus died for us. How can we say, I don't think it'd be, you know what? You're looking at the back. You're looking at the past here. In our rearview mirror. You're looking down this way somewhere. I've been down that road. What about anger? And that's a hole. Or a hatred for somebody. Or a group of people. or not forgiven somebody. You know, God says, if you don't forgive somebody their sins against you in Matthew 6, God will not forgive you your sin. So we sit with this, oh, never forgive. Well, you must know that God's law says he's not going to forgive you your sin. And we're sitting there, oh, I'm forgiven. Oh, I've met Jesus. I'm born again, spirit-filled. I'm forgiven. You are forgiven, but you've got to appropriate it in your own life. You've got to say, okay, so I forgive you for what you did to me and for molesting me, for raping me, for... We've got to forgive. It's not easy to forgive. I'm not saying that. But God says, you've got to forgive. We cannot walk with a hole of unforgiveness. How many people are in the church, and we spoke about it just now, slander and gossip and, had you heard of what I, pastor, said? And we gossip. And we come into this ungodly agreement stuff. When two more come together in my name, Jesus says, there I am, the power of God is there. But I tell you, when two or more come to ungodly agreement, who's going to be there? Oh, you're in ungodly agreement. I've got you. And the demonic will come along. Same-sex attractions, pornography, spending money. Oh, sometimes it feels so good to fill this emotional tank just by spending money. Gambling. Claustrophobia. Addictions, alcohol, smoking, drugs, lies. These are all addictions. Sense of failure, rejection, the pain of the abuse, trauma, bullying, when you were bullied at school. All these things develop holes in our nets. And see, God wants us to get rid of the holes. So we pray. Father, I want to ask, thank you, Lord, that for your word that says, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Father, the time has come, Lord, where you want to come, and you want to use us, but we also want us to mend the nets, or allow somebody to come along aside of us, and help us to mend the nets. Because sometimes, Lord, we just don't know how. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just come. And as you said in Ephesians, Lord, that you may become, as we draw closer to you, to become mature and complete and not lacking anything in James 1 verse 4. Father, I just say thank you, Lord, for your incredible love for us, where we don't see the potential in ourselves. You see the potential. And Father, especially for us who have come here week after week after week, Lord, because we actually do love you. We want you. But we just have a sense, Lord, that you will never use me. Father, I just want to ask you, Lord, that you would help us to change our minds and our attitudes to these things. Lord, that we will seek you. For your word does say, when you start the process, when you start drawing closer to me, I will start the process of drawing closer to you. And Father, I pray, Lord, that each one of us, as we just consider these holes in our net, Lord, Father, that we will just make work of it. And I'd like to give you an opportunity now. If you can just pray, if you can just give us a song, not for that you sing the song, but actually use the opportunity of just a bit of worship, just to say, Lord, I want to give you this hole in my net. Sometimes these holes are not the holes that I caused through my own sin, but some of the holes are caused through what other people did to me, and a hole is developed. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that as we give you this hole, as we give you this hole in my life, Lord, I pray that we can start the process of bringing healing into that place. Father, we want to come and we want to bind down any fear that may be attached to making right with you. Father, we bind down all fear in Jesus' name. It's a fear, that fear is not from God. It's a fear that Satan comes and puts on us to stop us from going further. What will people think of me? What will people say if I confess my sin? That is a lie from the enemy. But unfortunately, the church has in the past skinned about things like that. And we want to stop that. We've spoken about it to the leaders and we said, this has got to stop. Gossip in churches has got to stop. We've got to be, each one of us, we've got to be a safe person that people can come and confess their stuff. And let it go from there, not talk about it. Father, I pray, Lord, that in the church, that where the church has a whole of this gossip, Lord, you come and, Lord, we just want to say, I'm sorry for the unsafe person I've been, for the whole that I've created in the church. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, help us to go out there, as Jaco said earlier, Lord, to go out and then to just to pray and to ask you for opportunity to speak to somebody. Lord, create those opportunities as we seek your presence. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll take this message, Lord, and just make good of it and to walk life with a different mindset. Lord, you love each one of us. And you want to use, you have a purpose for each one. In Jesus' name, we ask it, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.